Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, those words speak from our hearts. How can we adequately say thanks for all you've done for us? Words are not enough. We offer you our lives, our service, our efforts. We pray that our lives would bring glory to you in everything we do and say. Visit with us now, Father. Bless our time together as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, when it was still a fledgling church with no more than a few dozen members, struggling to stay afloat financially, a man approached Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel in Southern California. This was a story that wasn't shown in the movie Jesus Revolution, if you saw it. And the man told the pastor that he wanted to make a donation, a large donation, a $1 million donation to the church. And he said they could discuss later how he could be credited or honored for the generous donation, perhaps some naming rights or a press release. And the pastor said to that, "Wow, that's a lot of money. Let me go first and pray about it." You don't usually say to the person who wants to give you $1 million, "Let me pray about it." But that's exactly what he did. Pastor Chuck Smith went home and he prayed about it. And the Lord led him to the portion in Genesis where a king wanted to give Abraham a large sum of money and great wealth, but Abraham refused it because he said, "Then you will say that you made Abraham rich." Abraham wanted God to have the glory, and only God, for his wealth and his success. So Pastor Chuck Smith came back to the man and he said, "I'm so sorry. Thank you for your generous offer, but I can't receive the gift because I prayed and the Lord showed me that he didn't want anyone else to take the credit for making the church successful." It was a difficult refusal. The money was desperately needed. The church was barely keeping its doors open, but Chuck Smith wanted to exclusively give God the glory for what he could accomplish in his church. And it happened. From that day forward, the church grew to the point that every morning it went from a few dozen to 3,000 adults gathering for different services. They had an overflow room that was filled for all three services with about 900 people. And through the offerings they collected, they were able to do so much. They bought a radio station that grew to become the largest radio station in Southern California, in the heart of Hollywood and Burbank and all these film and music studios. And they broadcast Bible studies and Christian music. And they built a conference center for retreats for churches. They bought another property and turned it into a Bible college. And this dear pastor decided to trust in God for his resources and to honor him with them. He gave the glory to God, not to someone who was going to give him $1 million. And God is faithful. God provides. He is able. You give him preference. You give him first. You give him the glory, and he will take care of you. And he will accomplish great things. It's a truth you can bank on. But it's not natural for us to forego the glory, to forego the recognition, forego the credit. It's not in our human nature to want to deflect praise to someone else, right? We're very me-centric. We live in a very me-centric world. Where there's credit to be taken, we want it. Where there's a benefit to be had, hey, that's ours. It's a world where everything revolves around me. My emotions, my feelings, my happiness, my wants, my needs, me. Up until 450 years ago, everybody believed the universe, the sun, the stars, the planets all revolved around the earth. Then in 1543, Copernicus told them the earth wasn't the center of the universe. 50 years later, Galileo said the planets actually revolve around the sun. Uh-oh. Society was so opposed to this idea They threw him in prison. They kicked him out of the church. The very idea that we weren't the center of the universe was just unthinkable. But God has a lesson for us in all this. The world doesn't revolve around you and around me. God's priority isn't our comfort, our happiness, our pleasure. If God existed to please you and me, then why aren't we pleased all the time? The truth is, it's not all about you or me. It's all about God. And the reality is that He is the only one who can handle the glory. You put a man on a pedestal, and you'll inevitably see a tragic fall from grace. We've seen it time and time again. So if God's priority isn't for our comfort and to make us happy, to please us, what's God's priority? Well, God's priority is that He receive all the honor and glory. If He had a to-do list, it would consist of one thing: how can I reveal my glory? It isn't about ego. See, God knows that if we see and recognize His glory, we are reminded about our place and His. We're reminded that He can do that which we cannot. We're more readily able to submit to Him, to find providence, to find peace, to find fulfillment, contentment, and purpose. Our lives are a success when we find our place and purpose within creation. The revelation of His glory makes our lives far better. That's the truth. And the beauty is that God uses everything, everything and anything around us to reveal His glory. The campers just got back from a beautiful campsite, and they saw waterfalls and snow and mountains. And they'll tell you that creation cries out God's glory. It's on full display. Psalm 19:1 tells us, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands." But if the rocks should be quiet, Scripture tells us, if we were to be quiet, the rocks would cry out. And if creation displays His glory in such a way, how about us? How about His greatest creation, mankind? It isn't just through nature that God's glory can be revealed. Our lives, and in fact, every aspect of our lives, can reveal His glory. It should inspire us to bring Him glory, to live for Him. When we realize that revealing God's glory not only magnifies the Creator, but benefits the creation, we should want to bring Him glory in every part of our lives. So today, I want us to look at the products of our lives through which we can bring God glory. And we should bring Him glory. And I want us to ask ourselves, for each one of these, am I using this part of my life to bring glory to God, to give Him honor, to shine the light on His saving grace, His goodness, His providence, His faithfulness? So first, give God the glory in your success. We often talk about glorifying God when things are hard, glorifying God in suffering and in loss. But what about when things are flourishing? What about the good times? Too often we shine the light on God in our hardships. God is good. He's carrying me through. It's a hard time. But in our victories, in our success, the story kind of changes, doesn't it? I've been working very hard. I'm so dedicated to succeeding. Right? We tend to shine the light on ourselves, on our efforts, our accomplishments, our strength. The problem is that our thinking about success is skewed. We've got to change our perspective. We've got to think rightly about success. What is success? Let's change the nature of what we think success is. We can't assume the world's definition of success. The world will tell you money is success. You know, good job, good car, nice house, that's success. That's not success. You may choose to pursue those things, but that's not success. For each of us, essential to our definition of success will be what our goals are in life. Success is meeting our goals. So first, we have to be clear about what our goals are and what our goals should be. Our goal should include pleasing our Creator, first and foremost, pleasing the Lord of our lives, getting in sync with His goals in this world. It involves seeking, finding, and following His will for our lives, spending more time with Him, knowing Him more deeply. This will involve sharing the story of His saving grace with all of those whom we've been given the opportunity, our family, our children, our relatives, our co-workers, our neighbors, our friends, our acquaintances. It involves doing good for people in the hope of showing Christ's supreme worth. It involves pervasive integrity, honesty, justice, generosity. These should be our life goals. Pleasing God, living for Him. So that's the first thing, set our goals aright. Second, think rightly about the fact that absolutely everything that brings success is a free and undeserved gift from God. The raw materials, the skills, the energy, the hard work, the opportunities, the processes, and your own life's abilities and disciplines. These didn't happen by chance. These didn't happen solely by us. They're a gift from God. Acts 17:25 says this, "And He is not served by human hands as if He needed anything. Rather, He Himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. He's the source of every ingredient for success in life." That's the second thing. Third, we must remember that God is sovereign and governs the world for His wise purposes. The smallest turn of affairs is ordered by God. Look at Matthew 10:29. "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care." He's intimately aware of every little detail. Proverbs 16:33. "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." There's no chance. There's no luck. This conviction, it's essential to our right thinking about success. So when we sum it all up, success is directly from the providence and hand of God by His will, in His time, and through His way. So where does the credit go, friend? It goes to Him. The light should be shown on Him. The glory should go directly to Him. That's how we should measure success, and that's what we should do with our success. Matthew 5:15-16 says this, "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." That's the purpose of our success, to glorify our Father in heaven. You know what my favorite part of the Super Bowl is? Because my team is never in it. It's watching the champions interviewed at the end of the game and waiting for one of them to give glory to God. And it happens often. You'll have a world-class athlete on the highest stage of the sport at the pinnacle of success defer all credit and give glory to the one who gave him the opportunity, the health, and the skill. It's a beautiful thing to me. And it happens in every walk of life. I love to see it. Samuel Truett Cathy, a devout Southern Baptist, opened a restaurant in the Atlanta suburb of Hapville. In 1946, Samuel was a man of faith. He said that the Bible was his guidebook for life, and despite mounting pressure around him, he refused to open on Sundays so that his workers could go to church. He himself taught Sunday school to teenagers at the First Baptist Church of Jonesboro, Georgia, for over 50 years. Well, the restaurant struggled for years, but Samuel's chicken sandwich became their most popular item. For 3 years in the 60s, he licensed the sandwich to over 50 eateries. But in 1967, he decided to end the licensing deals and go at it on his own, exclusively sell his chicken sandwiches in his restaurant. Sam incorporated Christianity into his business in every way possible, including Bible quotes on the containers for his sandwiches. Well, the little restaurant chain continued to grow, and grow and add new locations all over the country. And last year, the total annual revenue for Chick-fil-A was over $21 billion. Sam passed away in 2014, but he ensured that his vision would continue. If you look up the restaurant's purpose on their website, still today, you will find their business is founded upon and continues to be based on biblical principles. Their purpose is to, quote, glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that he has entrusted to us. And yeah, they're still closed on Sundays. Sam glorified God in his success, and he continues to glorify him in his legacy. Give God the glory in your success. It doesn't matter the scale. It doesn't matter how big. Recognize that success, whatever it is, comes directly from his hand and is a gift to you. Use it to glorify him. Second, give God the glory in your sacrifices. In the Old Testament, under the law, sacrifices, burnt offerings, typically lambs, were made to God for forgiveness of sin. But when Jesus died on the cross, he became the last sacrifice, the last lamb, for the redemption of sins for every individual in this world. We no longer give God sacrifices to cover our sins, but in our lives, we still make sacrifices to God. Not for forgiveness, but to give him glory, to honor him. We bring glory to God when we make sacrifices and stands for him. When we deny ourselves and put his will first. Ask yourself today, am I sacrificing anything for the Lord? How do we do it? What exactly do you mean? Well, the scriptures give us many examples. Look at some of these. One, we offer ourselves. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. What does he mean by body? All of it, all of our faculties. He wants all of your faculties, your feet, your hands, your mind, your eyes, your mouth, your ears. God wants it all for his glory. Are you giving him all of yourself? Two, praising God. That's a sacrifice. Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. He not only wants all of your faculties, he wants your praise. What is praise? Well, it means to recite, to meditate upon, to give thanks, to make known his attributes. Reciting God's attributes with a heart that exalts God, reverencing him for who he is. That's praise. That brings him glory. That tells a listening and watching world who God is. Three, doing good. That's a sacrifice to God. Hebrews 13:16, the next verse says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. This means doing good things. The opposite of sin. It's doing what is righteous. It's spiritual conduct that honors God. When you do any righteous thing, encouraging or restoring a brother, loving or helping someone, studying the Word of God, sitting under the preaching of the precious truth, saying no to the temptation of sin, saying yes to God, that's doing good, that's doing right. That's a spiritual sacrifice in the name of Christ, and that glorifies God. Four, presenting souls. Romans 15:16 says, this is Paul, he says his goal is to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. You know what Paul is saying here? He's saying, you know what I'm offering to God? I'm offering the souls of those I have been privileged to lead to Christ. Have you given God that kind of offering? Have you had the privilege of leading to Christ, a friend, a neighbor, a classmate, a relative, and saying, Lord Jesus, this is my sacrifice, the one who came to you because I was faithful to be available as the instrument you could use. Tell his story. Share your story. Tell of his saving grace. 5, loving others. That's a sacrifice. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Christ's love, which resulted in his sacrifice, was a sacrifice acceptable to God. So too, your love demonstrated in selfless humility, is a sacrifice well-pleasing and honoring to God. Sacrificial love for one another pleases God and it glorifies him. 6, praying to God. Revelation 8:3 puts it this way. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people. That was the incense on the golden altar in front of the throne. Prayer is a sacrifice to God. It's an offering to him. It's a sweet aroma to him. These are just a handful, friends. There's so many things we can offer to him as a sacrifice. Sacrifices in our lives. We're giving something of ourselves. And they all involve a sacrifice because in our nature, we don't want to do that. We want to serve ourselves. Right? We want to spend time on ourselves. We want to invest in ourselves. We want to feed our wills, our egos, our desires. When we sacrifice ourselves to give to God and his people, that brings him glory. Glorify him by sacrificing of yourself to him. And our third and last point is this: give God the glory in your struggles. Someone once said that giving God glory is an outward, external act. Well, you're never going to give God glory in a closet. You have to tell the world. We tell them about his providences, but let's also tell them about his faithfulness in our struggles. Romans 5, 3-5 reminds us this. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Our suffering, our struggles serve a purpose. Not only for our good, for our development, but for God's glory. Because through our suffering, people see what God can do, even in a hurting life, even in a struggle. It's no secret that every individual that walks with Christ has struggles, has sufferings, has trials. None of us have perfect lives, perfect characters, perfect resolves, and perfect retentions. And perfect intentions. We all fail. We all struggle. And except for those teenagers among us, we don't know everything. We have uncertainty around us. We have doubts among us. We have fears within us. But we have a God. We have security and an immovable anchor in Christ. And that's the difference. That's the answer to our struggles. When we let the world know that, yeah, we struggle, but we look to Christ to be our anchor, to help us, to deliver us, to keep us going, that brings glory to God. Somewhere, somehow in Christendom at large today, we got this twisted idea that Christians must project perfection. All is good. I'm on top of the world. See my smile? Friend, be real. That helps no one, least of all yourself. I'd much rather hear, I'm struggling. Life is hard, but God is good. He's beside me and I'm trying my best to walk in step with him. That's real. That tells me more about your resolve and God's providence than I could read in a book. Christian author and teacher John Piper pointed out. He said, God gets more glory in our struggle with sin than if we were made sinless immediately. One day we will be made sinless in heaven. But we are sinful by nature. But you know what? As we struggle and overcome and battle and give God the glory, those around us are blessed. That's a fighter. That's someone walking. That's someone trying. That's someone seeking God. That's someone relying on God. Your painful story brings God glory. Share your suffering with others. In all its messiness, whatever your struggle may be, whether with sin or with affliction, whether with sickness or pain, whether with hurt, with disappointment, discontent, depression, whatever it may be, the fact that you're still standing and you're here today, that God is walking with you, strengthening you, even carrying you through at times, that's breathtaking. That's a reflection of God's goodness, His faithfulness, His providence. That shines the light of glory on God so much brighter than the trite, often deceptive impression that all is well, no problems, no struggles, no concerns, no difficulties. It's not real. Be real with those around you. Be real with those in your world who are watching to see what God could do for them. We're not perfect. We're not finished. Know that when God uses our stories to heal others, they don't have to be finished. They don't have to be wrapped up into a neat, tidy bow with all the answers before God can use them. He can redeem our stories while they're still tattered and we're still in the brokenness. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. Keep fighting. There's beauty in your battle because that battle reveals that it's God who helps us fight. Amen? It's God who sustains us. It's God who helps us to eventually overcome. Give Him the glory in your struggles, and you will be amazed at the effect it will have on a watching world. Glorify Him, my friend, in your success, in your sacrifices, and even in your struggles. Give Him the glory in your story. I know there are so many here today with an earnest and sincere desire to glorify God more in their lives. Your hearts may be full of gratitude at what He's done for you. I think of that song, How Can I Say Thanks? And you want to give Him the glory. Well, make Him known, friend. You can't show Christ to a needy world by hiding your story. Be open. Be real. Glorify Him to those around you. Make His good deeds known. Glorify Him in your success. Glorify Him in your sacrifices. And glorify Him in your struggles. Let your life be a living testament, a living epistle of His goodness. Let God have the glory in your story. We're naturally avid readers of people's life stories, aren't we? I love biographies, documentaries, true stories. They're real. They happen. They're not make-believe, and they can teach us something. And God can speak so loudly through your life story. We read His stories all the time through those around us, don't we? These are living epistles. These are stories of what God can do. We read in the 5th chapter of Jessica how God can use you mightily despite your health battles. We read in the 4th chapter of Ari how God can reach you wherever you are and bring you back home. We read in the 6th chapter of Kathy how God can comfort the brokenhearted, raise them up. Friend, be His living epistle. Be His living testimony to a needy and watching world. He has never failed you, and He never will. He has rescued and redeemed your life from death and hell, and He has made you an heir to His kingdom and a citizen of heaven. give him the glory in every part of your life, in all things and at all times. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful. We're a grateful people for all you've done in our lives. How can we say thanks? Our heartfelt desire is to give you glory. Father, to make you known in a very real way to those in our world. Help us to glorify you in all we do and in all we say. Help us to glorify you in every facet of our lives, in our success, in our sacrifices, in our struggles, through everything we go through. Let us shine the light on your goodness. You are there with us. You are walking with us. You are the cause for all good things, and you are our help in every trial of life. May we play a small part in magnifying you, in making your salvation known, your goodness known, in shining your light into the chaos, noise, and darkness of this world. Thank you, Father. Thank you for spending this time with us today. Dismiss us now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.